Everybody knows what HIA is, right? A lot of nodding heads. Are there any non-nodding heads? All right, because we're not really going to talk about what HIA is, so if that's what you needed, that's not this session. But by then, you will have a bunch of good examples of the practice and hopefully some better understanding of the need for good partnership in doing this work. So that's what I'm going to focus on. I'm going to focus on sort of thinking through the partnership analysis that we go through. It's a nice stand-in, actually, for thinking through our overall approach for supporting HIA practice in the state. I'm Ben Wood. I work for Massachusetts Department of Public Health in the Bureau of Community Health and Prevention. I coordinate a grant from the CDC through their Healthy Community Design Initiative, and the purpose of that grant is really all about fostering a better understanding of what healthy community design is all about. But a big concrete piece of that is to try and apply the health impact assessment method to issues that relate to healthy community design. So what we're trying to do is to support the practice of HIA and ultimately try to get to the point of figuring out the best way to institutionalize the practice in our state. So working for our Bureau of Community Health and Prevention, we have a focus on chronic disease prevention and injury prevention. So that sort of emphasis really informs the work that we do around HIA and the types of projects that we want to engage in. And also because the grant that's funding all of this is through the Health Community Design Initiative, there's a big focus on the built environment. So issues that impact the built environment, obviously, around land use, transportation, housing, and that sort of thing. So that also obviously informs how we think about HIA projects that we're going to be working on. So I'm going to just go walk you through our thought process a little bit about how we think about partnerships in terms of HIA, and then I'm going to give you four examples of projects that we've supported over the past 2 years or are either done or are ongoing, just sort of an example of the process. I have no relationship to this close. I was joking with Suzanne. I forgot to put the actual language up there that I, sort of like framing the kinds of relationships I don't have to disclose. I actually do have relationships in my life, but they aren't ones that impact my ability to provide a objective presentation at APHA. All right. So, HIA partnership analysis. We like HIA. We think it's an important thing to do. We're still trying to figure out how to do it, really, and under sort of what parameters we want to be doing it in. Sort of at a first level analysis of partnership and sustaining the work, we think about the issues around capacity and likelihood of routine adoption of HIA, driving our decisions for who we want to partner with. And so, again, the frame that we're in here is around healthy community design, so we're thinking about organizations and entities that are impactful around healthy community design. Three levels here that we're interested in, RPAs, regional planning agencies. Everybody know what a regional planning agency is? That wasn't everybody. So RPAs also function often as metropolitan planning organizations, so they do regional transportation studies. RPAs do, basically they're providing municipal support around issues around land use, housing, transportation. So they are professional planners providing regional capacity around those issues. And in Massachusetts, an incredibly decentralized state, home rule state, regional entities that provide a level of skill and expertise in this area are sorely needed. So we see them as a really important target for getting up to speed on HIA. Towns that are part of our Mass in Motion initiative. Mass in Motion is it's a signature initiative of one of DPH's signature initiatives, looking at combating the obesity epidemic, and we fund 52 states across 52 cities and towns across the state to do policy, systems, and environmental approaches to the issue of obesity, and with a focus on active living and access to healthy food and tobacco control and prevention. So these are already communities that are engaged in the sort of the policy approaches and the systems approaches to issues around healthy community design. So they are logical partners for us to try and work with around HIA and getting them to understand why HIA is a nice added layer to the work that they're doing. And then, of course, state agencies are they're integral in terms of impacting local decision-making processes and actions because they're the ones setting policy and regulation. So there are very important targets for us as well, and certainly Department of Transportation, Department of Housing and Community Development are two state agencies that are really impactful in the healthy community design arena. Another layer of analysis for partnership is when we're thinking through projects that either have a that we think are going to either have a statewide impact or a local impact. And so HIA projects that will potentially influence statewide policy or otherwise be impactful beyond a local municipality or region, and then projects that are really very specific. Obviously, the answer to those questions drives who it is that we want to be working with. And then sort of filtered throughout all of that are internal MDPH considerations. And so we have the Bureau of Community Health and Prevention and Bureau of Environmental Health, which is Suzanne's, I think Suzanne likes to call it her shop, Suzanne's shop, at DPH. So our two bureaus are very interested in HIA, and so we're, over the past year or so, starting to develop more conversation and processes to make sure that what BCHF's priorities are and BEH's priorities are in relation to HIA are well sort of thought out. That could mean actually working on projects together. It could simply mean having conversations. What it also does is make sure that if there are department-wide priorities and initiatives, that we're trying to align well with those when we're thinking about HIA projects that we want to support. So at a finer grain, there's this issue of limitations. You know, we work in a state government. There's obviously limitations to what it is that we can and can't do in the HIA world. And sort of two primary things that we think about that, again, relate to partnerships and who it is that we're choosing to work with. The first is timeliness. So everybody who's done an HIA knows that the pace at which the decision-making process is moving is a very important component of thinking through whether or not you can adequately and successfully do an HIA. And there are barriers working in state government to doing things in a timely manner. So that is one issue that we have to think about. Another is basically just this issue of ownership. So sometimes a project could be one that MDPH might want to be well out in front of, be the public face of. Might be a case where it's not politically feasible for us to do that for whatever reason. And so we could work with a partner agency, partner organization, to be the one who's publicly out in front, even though MDPH might be integrally involved with the actual running of the HIA and sort of inform it and review and all that sort of thing. So the answers to those questions help us think through who it is that we can, who can help us when we can't be the ones necessarily to be taking the lead. And in Massachusetts, we are lucky enough that we have some nonprofit partners and quasi-governmental agencies that are developing HIA capacity. So we have people we can turn to now, which is not necessarily the case all across the country. All right, so putting all that together, in the language of HIA, the first step is screening, right? So all that partnership thought process really boils down to this for me. So when we're thinking about a project, we can think about it in terms of choosing it because of its high level of impact. So we really think that the decision-making process that particular project is trying to inform is, potentially has enough importance where you think it might really have a possibility to influence population health significantly. So that would be the overriding consideration for us to work on the project. In some cases, it might be because we want to work with a particular organization because we want to build their capacity. Those don't always meet together. Sometimes they might, but they don't always do it. But those are two really important considerations for us when we're choosing projects. And so then once we've screened a project in because we want to fulfills one of those two criteria, we think about the capacity, the current capacity of an organization. There has to be some level of current capacity, right, to do this work. But even more important, I think, is this hope for capacity. So they're trying to think through organizations that are really going to help us institutionalize and spread the faith and spread the word of HIA is an important consideration. Logistics is a really important consideration. Just the mechanics of entering into a subcontract with an organization is something we have to consider, especially when this sort of timeliness issue might be coming into play. And then past experience working with each other is always an important consideration for choosing a partner. It doesn't have to be past experience on HIA necessarily, but just past experience working in any given organization. So that's the overall framework and thinking about partnerships. I'm going to go into four examples now of projects. So The speed limit HIA was a project that was completed last year. There was a bill that was filed in the state legislature that would have effectively reduced speeds on all functionally classified local roads in Massachusetts. A functionally classified local road is basically a neighborhood road. Not state highways, connector roads, your local neighborhood roads. So this was a project that we chose for its impact. So we do a sort of initial analysis and just review of screening, thought that this would be have really significant population health related impacts. So above and beyond any other consideration, that's why we chose to support this particular project. It was done in partnership with the Metropolitan Area Planning Council. Kate Ito from MAPC is over there in the audience, who did a lot of work on the speed limit HIA. So some of those other issues that I talked about in terms of our partnership analysis really came into play here. So we thought about the issue of ownership. You know, who is it that should take ownership of this HIA? We came to the conclusion that MAPC should be the one out in front with it. They could effectively lobby easier than DPH could. So having them be the public face of it seemed to be a nice natural fit. Plus, there was a timeliness issue at the time anyway. The bill ultimately didn't go anywhere, but at the time we were under the assumption that there was going to have to be some fast information out there and the HIA being used in the decision-making process in a fast way. So again, we wanted there to be a process out there that wasn't hindered by any internal review barriers. Then we chose to work with MAPC for a variety of reasons. One is that they had already had the capacity around HIA to a certain extent. They had already completed their sort of first initial HIA, which was an HIA looking at an increase in fares in the MBTA. But also because MAPC is a really important partner for a lot of our healthy community design initiatives. They run a lot of our Mass in Motion programs in Middlesex County, and so it's just an important relationship for us in the healthy community design realm. And it's being presented at a poster session tomorrow at 8:30. So this just shows you a little bit of the findings for the speed limit HIA, just so you have a sense of the type of information that was found. So it's really interesting. The law was only calling for a 5 mile per hour reduction as a regulatory posted speed limit on these neighborhood roads. And there's a model that was used, a researcher, this guy named Rune Elvik, that has done a tremendous amount of speed analysis. And he's a leader in the field. And so he's done a lot of studies that shows that the actual behavioral response to a posted speed limit is not necessarily the desired one. So a 5 mile per hour reduction conservatively would lead to a 1.8 mile per hour reduction in actual driving behavior. But even at a 1.8 mile per hour driving reduction, you can see some significant health-related impacts. So 2,200 crashes prevented, 18 fatalities prevented, 1,200 injuries prevented. So really significant injury-related issues associated health care cost savings. And there were some negative impacts found as well. The modeling showed that people would do their darndest to avoid those neighborhood roads and get as fast as they could to a collector road, which ultimately actually increased the amount of time that they're spending in the car. So there are some negative impacts that we found as well, but overall that we found that the bill would have a positive population health-related impact. The next example is the Healthy Neighborhoods Equity Fund Health Impact Assessment. And am I already at 2 minutes? Oh, okay. Healthy Neighborhoods, okay. Healthy Neighborhoods Equity Fund, HIA. So this was, we were approached by the Conservation Law Foundation, who was putting together this new fundraising tool, this new capital development tool to support transit-oriented development projects. And this was a sort of a first of its kind idea to not just engage investors in wanting to support these types of transit-oriented development projects just to get a return on their investment, but because they also think that it might have a positive impact on community health. So what the Conservation Law Foundation was trying to do is figure out what kind of health outcomes would be most plausibly related to transit-oriented development, and the type of health metrics that they could use, and the data sources that they could use to track the impact of the projects that they're investing in. So they were interested in doing a health impact assessment to help inform those health metrics that were going to become a part of this this new equity fund. And so we thought that was a great idea. And so this project was also chosen in terms of its impact. We think that it's going to get a ton of attention, this new equity fund, in the community development world especially, but in the general development world. And we wanted to be a part of that process. So this project, very similar to the speed limit project, we chose to work with MAPC, and actually we worked with Health Resources in Action for a component of it as well, who helped us through the community engagement and scoping process a little bit. But different with the speed limit HA, we had a conversation about this issue of ownership, and we decided that MDPH, because of the type of information and the type of project that this was, we wanted to have some more public face around it. So we worked with MAPC, but ultimately it's going to be a joint process, a jointly released report. We'll have the DPH logo and the MAPC logo on the report, and it'll enable us to be sort of out in front of the project as well. This is a nice example of the two bureaus at DPH, BCHAP, and Environmental Health getting together to think about both chronic disease-related issues in terms of transit-oriented development projects, but also potential environmental health-related impacts of development. So it was a nice sort of test case for us to sort of think through how to work with each other and the different types of information that the bureaus have at their disposal and how best to integrate those interests and priorities and findings. I was actually hoping that by today this report would have been publicly available for release and I would be able to talk a little bit about the findings, but we're not quite there yet. We might be sometime this week, but not today. So I'm just throwing up here the pathways that this project looked at. There were 9 of them, everything from walkability and active transport to issues around environmental contamination and safety from traffic. So what I didn't say is the process that we used for this HIA was to look at so it was kind of a case study approach to look at 3 proposed transit-oriented development projects in Roxbury to use as sort of a model for the types of projects that the Conservation Law Foundation would be investing in through this new Healthy Neighborhoods Equity Fund. And so these are the pathways that we thought would be most relevant to those three transit-oriented development projects that are being proposed. And I just throw this up here. Throw this up here as an example of the type of primary data that was collected through the Healthy Neighborhoods Equity Fund. So people know walk score probably if they're in the walkability world at all. State of place is a more robust way of thinking through issues around walkability. So we had an opportunity to work with CLF, the Conservation Law Foundation, to collect on-the-ground data to really assess issues around walkability and economic impact of these developments. So I'll just throw that up there as an example of the type of information that this report will have once it's finally publicly available. The next example is the Worcester Neighborhood Revitalization HIA. So there's a neighborhood in Worcester, the Union Hill neighborhood, that has seen better times, and the city manager decided he wanted to do a coordinated push to try and address some of the conditions that exist in that neighborhood of Worcester. And he directed city departments to develop strategies that were specific to their departmental priorities, but then try to figure out how to work all together for a citywide initiative in this neighborhood. So we chose this project. It was a very interesting project, but we chose this project for a different reason. We chose it for capacity building. So we wanted to work with the Worcester Health Department because the Worcester Health Department is a very regionally important entity in central Massachusetts. Sort of as they go, a lot of other health departments go. In fact, they're leading an effort to regionalize health departments in central Mass. So we thought it was in our interests to build their capacity and understanding of HIA, so that's the reason why we chose really to support this project, even though the project itself was quite interesting. And in this case, the Worcester Health Department is completely owning the HIA. We're providing a lot of support behind the process so they can actually adequately do the HIA, but they are the ones who are taking ownership over their findings and their recommendations, and they're the ones who are going to be using the report to impact the decision-making process at the local level. I just throw this up here as an example of the information that this HIA looked at. This HIA is done, but it's also going through its lengthy internal review process within the city of Worcester. But they actually hope to have it publicly available sometime this week or next week as well. So there were four different city departments that were primarily developing strategies around neighborhood revitalization in this neighborhood: the public safety, code enforcement, housing, economic development, and public works. And this is just the public safety pathway that was used in that HIA. Just throw that up there as an example. And just finally, last one. This is a slightly different HIA for us. The Community Investment Tax Credit Health Impact Assessment. This is a there was a law that was passed last year that was passed to provide financial support to community development corporations in the state. And the way that they're doing that is through allocations of tax credits. So certified community development corporations would have the ability to go and raise funds from donors through an allocation of tax credits. And it would be for supporting their core operations. And in conversation with the Massachusetts Association of Community Development Corporations, president's name is Joe Kreisberg, we decided that this would be a really great opportunity for us to really dive sort of deeply and broadly into the community development and health link, and really try to explicate that link for all different and interested stakeholders. So we thought this would be a really nice opportunity for us to do HIA. The decision-making process is around the Department of Housing and Community Development, which is the state agency responsible for implementing the Community Investment Tax Credit, and the ones who are going to be responsible for weighing applications that are going to be coming in from the various CDCs to competitively go after these tax credits. So this project was initially going to be a DPH project, but for a variety of logistical and bureaucratic reasons, we decided that wasn't going to be possible. The timeliness issue really was key here. DHED is in the process of rolling out this program, so we needed to work on the HIA as fast as we could, but there were some other bureaucratic and logistical issues as well. So we decided to partner. And the way we partnered in this one was to work with two organizations. Again, MAPC is one, but Health Resources in Action is another. And so HRIA is the fiscal lead on this project, and they're also taking a leadership role around community engagement and a variety of other side deliverables that I'm not going to get into detail about. MAPC is the one really taking the leadership role on doing the HIA from conceptualization to assessment and report writing. But DPH has an overall oversight role in the process. We're providing data support, we're providing review support, and importantly, we're providing our relationship with the Department of Housing and Community Development so that we can sort of get into the door and be assured that the HIA is actually going to be meaningful for their decision-making process. Okay. All right. And these are just some graphics. I won't actually get into this. We're in the process of the CITC HIA, where the baseline conditions data is being compiled and literature review is being done, sort of getting into the assessment methodology. This graphic just shows parts of the state that are covered by certified CDCs. This awful slide here, if you wanted to actually try and read it, goes to the various research questions that inform the baseline conditions and the assessment model. Now I can talk about that if people want to during Q&A.
Great, thank you, Doug.